NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Hurricane Irene is making another landfall. This time it's in New Jersey, but forecasters say Irene is just barely a hurricane now with top winds of 75 miles per hour. New York City is all but shut down, and the National Hurricane Center's Jack Bevin says time will tell if the city's preparations are adequate.
I know they've made extensive preparations. I know we're starting to see some higher tides up the Manhattan area. I've just got no way to judge how much they've done, and how much is enough, and how much isn't.
In Connecticut, Governor Daniel Malloy is warning thousands who live in shoreline communities to evacuate.
28 municipalities are conducting evacuations on some of those on a door-to-door basis. 17 municipalities have declared states of emergency. We have enacted all of our debris management contracts so that we're ready.
Irene has knocked out power to hundreds of thousands along the East Coast. Leah Anderson is a spokeswoman for Dominion Virginia Power. She says more than a million customers in her region alone are without electricity.
Those customers are from the northeast part of North Carolina into southeastern Virginia, Richmond, Tri-City areas, and Northern Virginia.
Hurricane Irene is being blamed for killing at least 8 people, 3 of them in Virginia. Here's Craig Carper from member station WCVE in Richmond.
A man in Brunswick County was killed when a tree fell on top of the car he was riding in. The driver of that vehicle is expected to survive. An 11-year-old boy was killed in Newport News when a tree fell on his mother's apartment. And a man in Chesterfield County was killed when a large tree fell on his home. He died later in a nearby hospital. His wife sustained serious injuries, but is expected to recover. State officials are still asking residents to remain in their homes unless storm damage has compromised their safety. Colonel Stephen Flaherty, Virginia State Police Superintendent.
It's a very, very, very dangerous situation. It's dark now. There's no ambient light. There's precious artificial light around with all the power outages. It's going to be very difficult to see. Just out walking around is dangerous at this time.
For NPR News, I'm Craig Carper in Richmond.
Syria's closest ally is urging President Bashar al-Assad to listen to some of his people's legitimate demands. Iran's foreign minister made the comment just before the Arab League met in Damascus this weekend. Merrick Kennedy reports that the head of the Libyan National Transitional Council was given a warm welcome.
The Libyan National Transitional Council has now officially replaced the Gaddafi government at the Arab League. The League urged the UN Security Council to unfreeze assets around the world belonging to the Libyan people. It also said the opposition government should take Libya's seat at the UN. The meeting was originally called to discuss violence in Syria. It called for an end to the bloodshed there, and the Secretary General of the Arab League will fly to Syria to try to help resolve the crisis. For NPR News, I'm Merritt Kennedy in Cairo.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. The case of two American men sentenced to 8-year prison sentences on charges of espionage and illegal entry into Iran is on appeal. The lawyer for the men says the appeals court could rule immediately or take up to 2 months to decide. Iran's top leader, meanwhile, has released or reduced the sentences of 100 prisoners, many of them jailed for protesting the presidential election 2 years ago. But there's no indication that the Americans, Josh Fatale and Shane Bauer, were included. The National Weather Service has issued a severe heat warning for Phoenix, Arizona. As Mark Moran of member station KJZZ reports, it's about to become the hottest August on record.
Daytime high temperatures have routinely been reaching upwards of 115 degrees in Phoenix for much of the month. The average high for this time of year is closer to 105. The number of heat-related illnesses is up 33% over last year, according to city figures, and there's been at least one heat-related death. The atmosphere becomes unstable during the late summer in the Phoenix area, as there's more moisture in the air than at other times of the year. The shifting monsoon-type winds can cause severe and damaging microbursts as well as ferocious dust storms. The hotter weather also results in more scorpion stings, as the scorpions seek relief from the heat inside of buildings and homes. While deaths are rare from scorpion stings, they can be especially dangerous to children. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Phoenix.
There have been some evacuations, and other residents have been put on alert as wildfires threaten structures near the Warm Springs Reservation in Oregon. One fire near the reservation has grown to 1,800 acres. Several others are burning in Oregon after a series of lightning strikes last week. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News in Washington.